Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who blesses us. Amen. As Christians living on this side of heaven, there is a tension in our lives as believers. As believers in Jesus, we enjoy now some of the blessings and benefits of being in God's kingdom now through faith. We get to enjoy some of His good gifts, like His forgiveness and Him being our Father. On the other hand, though, there are some blessings and benefits of being in God's kingdom that we will only enjoy in heaven. And at the last day, that is the not yet part of living in God's kingdom. In theology, we sometimes use a special phrase to describe the life and tensions of Christians living in God's kingdom. The phrase is now, not yet. Our Lord's teaching this morning, commonly known as the Beatitudes, it describes and shows this tension in our lives as believers. As we look at His words, we see how we will enjoy some of His promises now in this life, and how we will enjoy others in the life to come. The Beatitudes do contain some blessings now, as they show our struggles as believers in God's kingdom. The first four Beatitudes show and describe our innate emptiness as sinful human beings. They also point us to Jesus' promises to fill that emptiness. So Jesus begins His teaching this morning by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit are those who recognize and see their moral and spiritual bankruptcy before God. They look to Him in faith. We can bring nothing to God in our relationship. We cannot bring our works, and we can't bring our own righteousness. It won't matter or do anything but make things worse. And Martin Luther understood this well. After his death, they found a scrap of paper in his pocket with these words scribbled on it. It said, "We are beggars before God." This is most certainly true. He is right, and his beggar imagery is rather helpful. Before God, we are like beggars on University Avenue. We are dirty from our sin. We have nothing spiritually, and we hold our cardboard sign before Him asking for His mercy and asking for His help. For we can only receive from God, and we depend on His grace and generosity like beggars who have nothing. But Jesus has news for us, for those who are poor in spirit and who depend on Him through faith. He says, the kingdom of heaven is ours now. It's not something that we receive later, but it's something that we have now with some of its gifts and blessings. We have been forgiven through Christ's death and resurrection, and we receive the riches of His grace. We receive life and salvation and mercy in His love. We are made His children, and we can go to Him in prayer. As Jesus says, we are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is ours now. And He gives us the second beatitude by saying, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Unfortunately, we suffer the effects of evil and sin in our world. Suffering and mourning touches and impacts our lives. Our lives are almost characterized by them. Not everything in our lives goes according to plan. People, unfortunately, get sick. Sometimes they pass away, and unfortunately, they might pass away too soon in our minds. Sometimes people may hurt us with their words and actions. They might disappoint us, or they might leave and abandon us. Sin, whether ours or someone else's, always seems to ruin things and to get in the way. We mourn over what could have been and what has happened, and we mourn over our sin. But Jesus says, we are blessed because we will be comforted. The full comfort is not yet, but He comforts us now as we sojourn here below. As we heard last week, God is our refuge and strength and a present help in times of trouble. Our Lord strengthens us, He preserves us, and He comforts us as we go through this veil of tears. He forgives us of our sin. When we mourn and repent over it, He comforts us with His gospel. We are blessed. he continues with the third one. He says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This beatitude builds on the previous two. As people who see nothing good in ourselves spiritually, and as people who suffer from the effects of sin and evil, we proceed on in this life in humility and lowliness. There's not much that we can do but depend on our Lord, because we cannot save or help ourselves. On account of this, our Lord points us ahead to a new earth where everything is made right and well, and we are blessed because that reality is before us now, since the kingdom of heaven is ours now. He comforts us with this future promise. We are blessed. And he tells us the fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We are naturally empty. We long for God's saving deeds in Jesus. We long for the death of death. We long for the end of sin and its disastrous effects. We long for the end of pain and trouble. We long for God's saving deeds in Jesus. We hunger and thirst for his righteousness. But we are satisfied now through our Savior. Through faith, we are given righteousness. In our baptism, we receive it daily. In his supper, he gives us his forgiveness and his righteousness, which helps to strengthen and preserve us onward until the end. This blessing of righteousness is present for us now, since Jesus is present with us. And because he has come to save us, we are blessed. And then in the rest of the Beatitudes, we see Christ's blessings and promises to his disciples who are in union with him. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." The adjective merciful describes the followers of Jesus. We have received his mercy, which allows us to show it to others. We show mercy through serving, through caring, through loving, through praying for others, through forgiving them, which is the greatest act of mercy we can show. We have received and seen the greatest act of mercy through our Savior, who died in our place to forgive us of our sins and to make us right with our Heavenly Father. We receive mercy and we are blessed. Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Those who are pure in heart are those who believe in Jesus. They focus on him. They are devoted to him and they live for him. They have been given a pure heart through repentance and faith in him. A pure heart is a gift. It is his free gift. We are blessed. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The peace that Jesus gives is a peace that the world simply cannot give. It's not one that we can make, fabricate, or earn by ourselves. His peace is a right relationship with God. The peacemakers are those who share this gospel message with others who live in a broken and sinful world. The peacemakers are moms and dads and brothers and sisters and co-workers and bosses and friends and relatives who share this gospel message with others. And we are God's children now through this peace. We are blessed. And Jesus finishes it up by saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus seems to speak almost paradoxically here. It doesn't seem like a blessing when you are persecuted or slandered or reviled, but our Lord reminds us that we have the kingdom of heaven now with its gifts and blessings. Nothing can change that. He reminds us that we have a present joy in him amidst these sufferings and persecutions and difficulties. We are blessed. And as we look at these promises and blessings, we see how they remind us of God's goodness to his saints on this day. We see it especially to those who have left us in the last year. We've seen his goodness to Dorothy and to Alva and Viola, Clarice, Lillian, Dale, Roger. Howie, and Dick. These saints and others are free from their sufferings and free from the trials of this world. We have seen how they have received these promises and blessings of God all throughout their lives. And we see how they are enjoying eternity now with Him. The Beatitudes also show us what we have to look forward to in eternity with them as well. Through faith in Christ and because of what He has done for us, we will fully enjoy these blessings and see the fulfillment of these promises on the last day, but not yet. For we will enjoy the kingdom of heaven in all of its fullness. We will be completely comforted from the effects of sin and death and trouble and sorrows. We will enjoy a new heaven and a new earth. We will have new resurrected bodies, bodies not touched by disease or sickness or age. We will enjoy this paradise with our loved ones who have departed in the faith. We will be satisfied with God's righteousness, and we will receive the abundance and fullness of His mercy. We will truly see God. Haven't you always wanted to do that? We will also live eternally as His sons and daughters. And St. John's confirms that this is our future with his Revelation reading this morning, which gives us a glimpse and teaser of what lies ahead. It's like a movie trailer for heaven. He writes, "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The Beatitudes show our lives now and what we have yet to receive. And from what we have seen and heard, it looks pretty good. In His name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who blesses us. Amen.